Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We bow before thee, frail creatures whom thou hast made. And we thank thee that thou alone art God, and that thou hast made us with a capacity for knowing thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for the revelation which thou hast made to us, coming very near to us in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is our elder brother, our companion, our Savior, and our Lord. We thank thee for the privilege of corporate worship, and as we gather together here now, we pray that we may worship thee in such a way that our lives may be changed, in such a way as that our lives and hearts may be cleansed, in such a way as that our service to thee may be transformed. We pray today for those in our seminary community who need thee in some special way. We pray for the churches in this community and all the churches which are served by the members of this seminary family. We pray for all the churches in our land and throughout the world, and for the great body of Christ which extends throughout the whole world. We thank thee today for those who have come to minister to us, and we pray that their service among us may be blessed of thee. We bring our prayer to thee in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Our speaker this morning is Mr. George W. Cummins, who is the Associate Director of the Chaplains Commission. He works under the jurisdiction of the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. He has with him on our platform today two other men who are associated with him. I'll ask him to introduce them at the proper time. Also on our campus today, I understand there are chaplains on active and inactive status, and we want to extend a cordial welcome to all of them who are worshiping with us today. Mr. Cummins, our speaker, has made an annual visit to our campus for several years and is known to many of you already. He will speak to us in particular about what is, in my opinion, an extremely important ministry, the military chaplaincy. Mr. Cummins, we welcome you today and always to our campus.
Thank you, Dr. Tall. It is indeed a pleasure to have this opportunity and privilege. I would like to introduce the gentleman on the platform, Dr. E.L. Akis, who is associated with me in the Department of the Division of the Chaplaincy. His particular task is ministries to military personnel. Dr. Akis. And then we're happy to have visiting with us Chaplain Lonnie Meacham, who is located at the shipyard in Portsmouth, who will pretty soon complete some 20 years of active duty service. Chaplain Meacham. And then in our congregation this morning, we have chaplains from all areas, hospitals, institutions, penitentiaries. I mean, there are chaplains there now, you understand. Industry, military, Because our chaplain's commission is interested and concerned in serving all Southern Baptist ministers working in the area of the chaplaincy. And I'd like for those that are here this morning who are working full-time at the task of the chaplaincy, if they would stand. If you're here in the congregation, would you please stand? Yes. Thank you. Happy to have you with us. We're going to have a dinner meeting this evening in the cafeteria. I hope you understand me. Candidates for the chaplaincy and their wives are invited and will be the guest of our chaplain's commission. We've never had anybody take advantage of us, but we are happy to have those who are candidates who will be with us. We have a number in the student programs. And our chaplain's commission is interested in serving all of these men working in these areas of the chaplaincy. This morning I want to bring a devotional message to you, not speak particularly in regard to the chaplaincy. The standpoint of you and I coming to know who we are and what we are, and the task out before us as children of God. Referring there to the first psalm and also the chapter in Corinthians, 15th chapter. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And then Paul's words there, as we see him waving that arm as we look down the corridors of time, when he said, "Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You and I this morning are debtors to the past. Ours is a great heritage. With a full recognition of these responsibilities that have been handed on to us, we need this morning to take stock, to come to see, to understand what God has for us in the days ahead, our responsibilities, what we have to use to accomplish this task, this sole task of bringing a lost world to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never apologize for the giving of Jesus to a world that's lost in sin, for introducing that Savior, the Son of God, to men who need him, with a full realization that the only power that can change the hearts of men is the power of God through Jesus Christ, with a full understanding that this world can never be a better world until Jesus reigns in the hearts of men and women. This our task. We need to realize this morning that God has raised us up for such an hour as this, and we are debtors to the past. With the full realization of what our forefathers have done for us through the help of God, and this nation of ours, as it stands in a strategic position today of leadership in all areas, must by right take its leadership in the spiritual realm. We need today to rediscover some things, to rediscover those doctrines, those beliefs, those principles of life, those standards that have made this nation of ours what it is. We need to take a look back and come to see and to understand that there are new terms, new ways in which we can do things and say things, but never forgetting that it's the same old power through Jesus Christ that gets the job done and changes this world into a better world.
And these convictions, these doctrines, these beliefs, these principles of life must be rediscovered. And there's one thing I think we need to rediscover today, and that's the rediscovery of God's Word. Come to know it, to understand it, to appreciate it, to come to live it, and come to do the things it tells us to do, to bring us closer to God, that it may reveal unto us ourselves, ourselves, that we may come to know ourselves better and come to see ourselves as God sees us. This Word will do wonderful things for you and I. It takes a good man to take a look at himself, to understand himself, to know himself, to control himself, and to be the man that he knows he can be under the power of God. And God's Word will reveal ourselves unto ourselves and cause ourselves to know ourselves and to see ourselves as God sees us and God knows us. This old book can wash our minds and cleanse our hearts and make our lives a complete and a clean vessel for the use of the Heavenly Father. Isaiah walked into the temple. There in the 6th chapter it speaks of him. And Isaiah come to see himself as God saw him. And Isaiah fell prostrate on his face. And he said, "Wash me, O Lord, make me clean." There is such a thing as a spiritual bath, which the Scriptures speak of. And we need today to come to make our lives such a clean and fit vessel that God can use us. You and I realize this important task that we have, and we need to rediscover this morning God's Word in such a way that we will make it a vital part of our life. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I recall to mind this morning that beautiful poem of William Stidger, as he speaks of the world, when he said, "I saw God wash the world last night with his sweet showers on high. And then when morning come, I saw him hanging out to dry. He washed each tiny blade of grass and every trembling tree. He flung his showers against the hills and swept the billowing sea. There's not a bird, there's not a bee that wings along its way. That's not a cleaner bee nor a cleaner bird than it was yesterday. I saw God wash the world last night. Ah, would that he had washed me of all my dust and dirt, as white as that old birch tree." God's Word this morning needs to be rediscovered, that our lives may become like unto his, our power may be his through our lives, to be used to bring this world to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only we need to rediscover, we need to reclaim a faith this morning, a vital faith. What a wonderful thing it is to have faith, an operative faith, an effective faith. And this faith has three sides to it this morning, or a base and two sides as I see it. First, there is faith in our fellow man. And when you and I lose our faith in our fellow man, indeed we are lost. God still has faith in us. God still understands, and he expresses faith in you and I this morning, and it behooves us to have faith in our fellow man. Another side of that triangle is faith in ourselves. What a wonderful thing it is to see a man and know a man who knows himself, understands himself, and has faith in himself. Not egotism, but knowing his capabilities, his limitations, knows where he's going, knows his task, and sets about to do it. A vital faith in himself. But all of this must be founded upon faith in God. A faith in God that changes our lives, that changes our minds, that changes our hearts. A faith that puts us on a firm foundation and sets our eyes in the ways of righteousness as found there in the first Psalm, the highway to our Father's house. So we need to reclaim this morning faith. Not only do we need to discover, not only do we need to reclaim, we need to remember this morning who we are. We are God's children. We are his chosen. And the highest calling of God this morning is not when he called me to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not when he called you to be a missionary. The highest calling of God is when he called you and I to be his children. the priesthood of the individual, the responsibility that goes with this, wherein you and I, every child of God, can see himself as God's child with the responsibilities that go with us. And until this principle is accepted by God's children, the world will remain lost and remain in sin. We need to remember that we are God's this morning. He's bought it with his price, the price of his precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Not only do we need to remember, we need to rededicate ourselves this morning to this task. Here's the problem of dedication. Friends, this morning, we have the message. Let us never apologize for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God unto salvation. We have the messengers. There's not a denomination that can match the numbers that we have in our schools and seminaries this morning, and God has blessed us. We have the messengers. We have the method of sowing down this old world with New Testament churches, and it is scriptural, the method. Not only do we have the method, but we have the means and money and manpower. God has blessed Southern Baptists with money and manpower. The people we have in our churches that claim to be children of God, God has blessed us in this area. We have all of these things, physical assets, everything. But here is our problem. It's the depth of our dedication. The motive, if you please. The motive. My brother, my sister, this morning, when Southern Baptists solve this problem of dedication, we'll make our contribution as we should make it in bringing this world to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is hard to understand and accept in reality. And some things only come by personal experience. You give me a logical answer to these three questions this morning. How can you have by giving? How can you hold on by letting go? How can you live by dying? Only those who've experienced it understand it and know it. Only the children of the living God have an answer to these questions. You and I, as God's children, must come back to the full realization that it is a matter of life and death. And until we're willing to die, we never live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Wallace, medical missionary, the communists, sat him in a room, walked around him, slapped him, spat upon him, and all he had to do was to deny his Christ. The communists said Dr. Wallace died then, but they didn't know Dr. Wallace had died wherever he went to China. You can't touch a dead man. That's one thing the communists have not recognized yet. My brother, my sister, until we die, we never live. And herein lies the crux of the matter and the problem that we face today, the matter of dying in order to live. Yes, rediscover, reclaim, remember, by all manner of means, let us rededicate that God may use us to take this message to a world that's lost in sin. May we stand. Dr. Akis, will you dismiss us with prayer?
We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for this privilege of drawing aside and centering our thoughts on thee, what thou hast done for us, what thou hast done for the world. We who have given ourselves in thy service, may we go forth from this service rededicated with all that we have upon thy altar. May we go forth to lose our wills in thine. May we have the guidance of thy Holy Spirit and bless each one in his or her several ways as we try to serve thee. And unto thee will we give all the glory as we pray thy blessing and benediction upon this institution, its president, its faculty, and those who study here to go out to carry on thy work. These things we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.